Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to welcome everyone to the InterWest Local Planning Panel meeting of the 11th of March 2025. My name's Adam Seaton, and I am the chair for today's meeting. This is a formal meeting of the council, and I'd firstly like to acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we're meeting today, and we acknowledge and respect elders past, present, and emerging. I'm going to ask each panel member to introduce themselves in a moment. As I've already indicated, my name is Adam Seaton, and I'm the chair of the panel. I'm a lawyer who specializes in planning and development law. Sue, can I ask you to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Sue Everley. I'm one of the expert members of the panel. I'm a local government planner by background with some 40 years' experience in planning.
Thank you, Sue. David, could you please introduce yourself? You're on mute, Dave. David, if you can.
Sorry about that. Hello, I'm David Logan. My background is as an architect and urban planner, and I specialize in heritage matters as a heritage consultant, and I've had long involvement with local government over the last few decades.
Thank you, David. And Alan, can you please introduce yourself? Alan, you're on mute at the moment. There we go. Claire, we can't hear Alan at the moment. Is there a problem with his?
I'm not sure. I can see if I can get in touch with him.
Thank you. If you could do that for me. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll just hold on for a moment till I find out what's happened to Mr. Barnes.
Well, I can hear my phone going off in another room. Yes.
Alan, we can hear you now.
I believe you can hear me now.
Excellent, thank you. Now, Alan, can you help me introduce yourself, please?
Okay. Yep. My name's Alan Barnes. I've been a resident of the Inner West since 1948 on and off. I'm here today as a community representative with an interest in Aboriginal Affairs. I hold a degree, master's degree in Aboriginal Studies. And I think that about describes me.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. The first matter on the agenda today is declarations of interest. I'm informed that no panel member has disclosed a conflict of interest in any matter in their declarations of interest that have been tabled for this meeting. I can also advise that each panel member has inspected the sites that are subject of the reports that are on the agenda today. They've read the agenda and the associated assessment reports and any submissions that have been provided, and have also participated in a briefing by council officers. There's some housekeeping matters that I just need to deal with before we commence. If all attendees firstly could keep their microphones on mute unless you've been requested to come online and speak. Once your presentation is finished, again, if you can just set your microphone to mute. We have a number of people registered to speak to the panel today, and if we can all be respectful of anyone who is speaking, and if we can try and limit presentations to no more than 3 minutes, there'll be an announcement made that you'll hear on the you'll hear as part of the presentation today once 3 minutes elapses for each speaker. Then after hearing from each speaker and all speakers on a particular item, we'll then move on to the next matter. And then finally, once we've heard from all speakers, we will then adjourn the proceedings, and we will make our determination in a closed session, and the details of our decision and the minutes of our meeting will be published on council's website by the end of this week, so you'll know what our determinations are by that time. I'm now going to move on to the first item on the agenda. Item one is a standing item, which is a report of the pending matters that will be coming to the panel in due course. We've been provided with that item, and it's noted. The second item on the agenda relates to the site at 262 Livingston Road, Marrickville. It's described as development application 2024-1028. And it's a development application for...
I'll have to go up the backs.
It's a development application for alterations and additions to an existing detached dwelling that includes partial demolition of existing structures and construction of ground floor additions and construction of a single story secondary dwelling and garage, including a loft area within the rear yard. I have only one speaker registered in relation to that matter on behalf of the applicant. I think it's Rajin Shah. If that person could come online now and just introduce themselves and tell us.
Yeah, sure. I'm Ragan. I'm a director of Funk Design and Development. So I'm here for 262 Livingston Road, if there are any questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Ragan. So you didn't want to say anything. You were just here if we had questions. You
know? Yeah. I'm just here to answer if there is any specific questions. Yeah.
Thank you. Can I ask whether any panel member has any questions in relation to the application with Mr. Shah? It looks like we don't, Mr. Shah. So all I'm going to do is thank you for your attending today. And sure. As I already indicated, our decision in relation to the matter will be available later this week on the council.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I'm going to move on now to the second matter. It's item three on the agenda. It's relating to the land at 500 to 502 Marrickville Road, Dulwich Hill, DA 2024-0631. It's development described as partial demolition of existing structures, retention of the front portion of the building, and construction of a four-storey mixed-use building, shop-top housing, including ground floor commercial space and six residential units above. I have no speakers registered in relation to that matter, so I'm going to immediately proceed to the next matter, which is item four in the agenda.
15 off straight, I suppose. So it should be. So it's...
Claire, I do have somebody who's not muted. We're muted now. Thank you. Item four on the agenda is relating to the land at 4151 to 153 Edgware Road, Enmore. It's a modification application 2024 0443, and the modification involves construction of a pergola within the rear setback and enclosing the approved carport. I have one speaker registered in relation to that matter, Mr. Delaney. Mr. Delaney, would you like to come online, please?
Exactly. Thank you. I'm here and happy to answer any questions if they're forthcoming. As the architect for the DA modification.
Thank you, Mr. Delaney. Does any panel member have any question in relation to item four? No, it looks like, Mr. Delaney, you get an early mark, so we don't need to ask you any questions.
Thank you.
We appreciate your attendance, and as I indicated earlier, our decision will be available later this week on the Council's website.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I move now to item five on the agenda, which is a development application relating to the land at 35 to 37 Premier Street and 42 Carey Street, Marrickville. It's DA 2024-0962, and it's development described as partial demolition to existing structures and the construction of a retaining wall and fence located on the shared boundary between 35 and 37 Premier Street and 42 Carey Street. I have no speakers registered in relation to that matter.
My name is Samantha. I am from Winner OS Council as the client. I'm here to respond to any queries in relation to this DA.
Thank you, Samantha. I didn't have you on my list, but I will ask any panel member whether they have any questions relating to item five.
Not from me, no.
Thank you, Sue. David, not from you and not from Alan. Thank you. Thank you for attending, and Samantha. And as I indicated, our decision on that matter will be available on the Council's website later this week.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I now move to item six on the agenda relating to the land at 22 Ellen Street, Roselle. It's DA 2024-0925. And described as demolition of existing structures, Torrens Tuttle subdivision of the existing lot into two allotments, and construction of a two-storey semi-detached dwelling on each lot, with works including the removal of two on-site trees. I have one speaker registered in relation to this matter. I think it's Mr. Samuel Russo as, I think, the architect. Mr. Russo, could you come online, please? I can see you now. Would you like to just introduce yourself and let us know whether you want to say anything about the application?
Yes, definitely. I'm the applicant, the architect on the project. Happy to answer any associated questions with this application that are forthcoming.
Thank you. Does any panel member have any questions of Mr. Russo? No?
No, not from me, no.
No, not from me either.
And not from you, Alan? Thank you. Mr. Russo, as you've heard earlier, we will be making a determination on this matter later today, which will be published on the Council's website later this week. So we thank you for your attendance.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
The final matter on the agenda today is item seven, which is relating to the land at 168 to 172 Victoria Road and 17 to 19 Waterloo Street, Roselle. It's DA 2024-0306, and it's described as integrated development under the Roads Act 1993. Works include demolition of existing structures and construction of a four-storey mixed-use building, including ground floor commercial space, residential accommodation above, and basement car parking, and associated works and construction of two dwelling houses with Torrens Tuttle subdivision and associated works. I have one objector who wishes to speak in relation to this matter, and I have three people registered on behalf of the applicant. I'm going to hear from the objector first, so Robin Steele. Robin, if you could come online, please.
Yeah, hello.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah. If you could, so it is Robin Steele.
It is Robin Steele, yes.
Thank you. And you're the owner of the premises immediately to the west of the site at?
Yes.
21.
I'm on Waterloo Street. I'm on the street behind the large part that'll
I'm sorry, immediately behind the large part that should be on Victoria Road.
Yes.
And beside the Waterloo Street part of the development.
All right. If you could tell us what your concerns are then, please,
sure,
about the proposal.
Yeah. I wish to thank Council for addressing a number of our concerns regarding this DA. However, we're still greatly concerned about overshadowing in winter and the visual impact of bulk and scale of the Victoria Road component of the buildings. We understand that position of our property and rear structure make it difficult to retain sunlight. However, the sheer height of this proposed development will take half our morning sunlight for indoor and outdoor living spaces and reduce our solar generation capacity by 30%. If we're a professional couple who spend a lot of time away from home, this may not be of great concern. However, my husband is semi-retired and will fully retire at the end of this year. Our 28-year-old son is disabled and lives at home with us. I'm his primary carer. As such, I'm at home with him for large amounts of time. I do enjoy this time at home and find it calms my mental health, so the loss of half our morning sunlight would have a significant impact on my well-being. The loss of sunlight will also cost us financially, with a significant reduction in solar generation. Changing topics, the proposed development needs appropriate measures to ensure exterior noise does not go above 35 decibels in a bedroom between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. It is stated the acoustic report considers noise from Victoria Road and the future metro. However, the assessment must also consider the frequent raves at the Bridge Hotel, which runs from midnight to noon or later on weekends. The bass from the rave thumps through all our living and sleeping areas, including the new build with double glazing at the rear of our property, which is not in sight line of the bridge. Neighbours and I have not been able to resolve this issue. Based on our experience, these raves will have an enormous impact on the residents of the new build, and noise attenuation specific to the raves should also form part of the conditions of consent. Noise testing has been done from the bedroom of 23 Waterloo Street, Roselle, by the Bridge Hotel, and I imagine it would be made available to VIPAC engineers upon request. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Steele. Any questions of Mrs. Steele from any panel member? No? Thank you, Mrs. Steele.
Sorry, I did have just a question, just to clarify. When you say raves, you mean?
I mean
parties.
Dance parties.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I just want to make sure I heard you right there.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Steele. If I'm now going to hear, if you can go on mute for me, please, and I'm now going to hear from the applicant's representative. So I have Mr. Yuan, Mr. Hansen, and Ms. Hyde. Can I just ask who wishes to speak first out of those three, please?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak first. My name is Lex Yuan. Together with Simon Hansen, we're the architects working on this project, and I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant in support of the application. And I also have Mrs. Pip Hyde from GIN Planning also addressing, assisting, answering any questions that the panel may have. So firstly, I would like to confirm that we concur with the assessment the assessment contained in the council officer's report and with the recommendation for approval. However, we request two small amendments to the deferred commencement conditions of consent. We think these amendments will remain to achieving the objectives of these conditions and provide a better outcome for our development. These are item A, which seeks amendment to provide 500 millimeter side setback to 21 Waterloo Street. So the aim for this condition is to allow the neighboring property to have room to access their existing pipes and vents along their sidewall for servicing. So a 500 millimeter setback on the ground floor should be sufficient to provide this access. And we don't believe any setbacks for the levels above ground floor would have any additional benefits. With only the setback on ground floor, this area could then be gated at the front to create a better appearance from the street. and the cantilevered upper levels provide shelter to this area and minimize the opportunities for debris and other bits and pieces to collect within this area. So we're seeking to amend this condition to only apply to ground floor. And also on item B, which seeks to reduce the rear balconies of the proposed terrace houses to be reduced to a maximum size of 2.4 square meters. The objective of this condition is to reduce the impact and improve privacy to 21 Waterloo Street, which locates to the west of our proposal. We agree with reducing the size of the balcony for proposed terrace house number one, which is adjacent to 21 Waterloo Street. However, reducing the balcony size for proposed terrace house two will not achieve any additional benefit to the neighbouring property at 21 Waterloo Street. The direct neighbour to the east of terrace house number two has an approval for a solid wall on the boundary for three stories. Any reduction in our balcony sizes will not have any benefit to the neighbouring to the east either.
So, Mr. Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Thank you. Mr. Yuan, if you could just wind up.
So we propose to change the wording for this to limit it to the reduction of the rear balconies to only apply to terrace house number one. And that's all I have for today. Thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm.
Did Mr. Hansen want to say anything separately?
Sorry, no, I'm just defer to Mr. Yuan.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
And Ms. Hyde didn't want to say anything separately, but if you're here to answer questions.
Correct. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to ask the panel whether they have any questions in relation to the matter. Sue, do you have some questions?
I did have a question in relation specifically to the access. Future access for this site is proposed to be via an easement through the adjoining property, and for the sake of simplicity, let's call it the Tigers, former Tigers site. What action has the current owner, so the owner for this site, taken to secure that easement?
I believe it is in the development consent for the neighbouring Tigers property, and the owner is in active talk with Tigers Leagues Club in regards to meet their consent condition, as well as, you know, facilitating both our development together.
So the, just to clarify, mate, so the easement doesn't exist?
So,
well, I don't think the building exists yet next door.
Yeah, but you can create an easement in the ground, can't you? Earlier than the development. I understand so
it's a stratum, yeah? So
Yep.
So it's a stratum easement. It's part of, it's part of the consent next door, and we need that to, we rely on that to get access to our building, which is obviously a good outcome for our proposal. Sue,
And just for a follow up, that I understand there's also a subsequent DA before the because there's a state significant development which will increase the development of the Tiger site to 16 stories. Is that right?
That's correct. That's how we understand it. So,
if that consent's issued, does it override the current consent?
I mean, that might be a question for council, but I wouldn't think, I would think the same issue would be considered for the SSD application.
But it is, yeah, so it has to be part of that future consent, doesn't it?
I would hope so, because it's embedded in the sale to the current owner of that Tiger site.
That's what I wanted to find out.
It's embedded in it.
That they will grant an easement.
100%.
Okay. But no, other than the condition and the agreement for sale, it's not actually caught up. There's no actual other work being done to actually create that, because you're saying it can't be created until the building's complete. Is that right? But that it only be, could be created at the time when the basement's complete.
I don't know, Pip. The technicalities, I would imagine you're probably right, Sue. I mean, they've consented. So we've actually drawn that easement. The neighbouring owners have agreed to that easement. Pip, is there, do you know about the legalities of that? I mean, Adam, you might be able to talk to that, but yeah.
I think, can I just indicate, the concern is that there is no certainty as to when and what is happening on the site that's described as the Tiger site. And if this development is approved and allowed to get to occupation certificate stage, it may sit there for a long time before any occupation certificate can in fact be obtained, or may never be able to be obtained, because the Tiger site doesn't redevelop in accordance with either the current consent, the 2018 DA, or it doesn't redevelop for a long period of time. So we then have a building standing on the subject site that doesn't have any access to it, to the parking and the waste areas. We're trying to work out how that can be addressed, because it doesn't seem to be orderly and efficient to construct a building up to occupation certificate stage without having any easement actually secured and the access physically constructed that would enable the parking and the waste collection areas to be utilised by the development on the subject site. So we're just trying to understand how you think that might be addressed.
Yep, good one. I agree. And obviously the site's, you mean a longer period of time when nothing's developed on that site.
Yeah.
So they were actually working there the other day when I drove past, but that doesn't mean they're going to finish it, I guess, yeah. Adam. Yeah, so I'm, as a, just the architect, so I can't, so I don't know how you would condition that in.
Well, yeah, I don't want to ambush you at all about it, but it's a concern I can say that we have in our minds as to allowing this development to proceed to occupation certificate stage without any physical and legal access being in place at all.
Even if, sorry, keep going.
You're right. No, if you have an answer to that.
I don't know if I have an answer. I just probably had 2 points. Just pulled up the application that's in on that neighbouring Tiger site, and it's an amending DA, so there will be, that condition of consent will be retained in the original consent in terms of providing requirement to provide that access. But I was just thinking, even if there was a pre-CC condition that an easement had to be in place, I suppose the risk always falls on the owner that they're developing ahead of that neighbouring site until that access is provided. So it would be up to the owner to keep in talks with Tigers, I suppose, because ultimately any vehicle access is going to be dependent on that site in accordance with that condition and their delivery timeframes.
You just said, I think you said pre-CC. So if it's pre-CC and there was no work able to be done on the subject site unless and until that easement is secured and the physical works are done to facilitate the access, so it's above basement stage, for the development on the Tiger site, is that something that the applicant would be comfortable with?
Do you mean just creating the easement rather than
creating the easement, so actually getting the easement registered on title that benefits the subject land, and then, because it's an easement in stratum, so it's quite a complicated thing in ensuring that the relevant stratum is identified in a way that facilitates the access, and then you there is actually constructed on that site the access that goes into the basement at the level that's shown in the plans at the moment, so that you will be guaranteed that there is an access physically available by the time you start constructing on the subject site. I'm just interested in your thoughts on that.
I think creating the access at pre-CC is doable. in terms of having a physical access at pre-CC, that could have some timeframe implications.
I think, Pip, it's probably, it's not any CC, but ACC. So, I mean, if you like work through this logically, the owner's not going to build this building without having access. You wouldn't spend that much money just to have something sit there. So, but there's a lot of time in the ground on this project. There's a lot to do. So if it was ACC, not any CC, which enabled us to get some early works going and all that sort of stuff while everyone was continuing on, is that a possibility?
What, in terms of ACC, you're suggesting a CC up to a certain point?
Well, so you can get early work CCs, CC 1, 2, 3, I don't know, that, you know, we've had 5 on some of them.
Yeah, and what I'm just trying to understand is what the CC would, you could, what the CC would allow in terms of the actual work. So early works is not really a description of anything in particular, but if it was a CC for the basement work, for example, then at least I can understand what that means. Or you don't get any construction certificate beyond that, that would enable a certain element of the building.
I haven't seen that condition though.
Yeah.
Adam, I mean, my understanding that we have these conversations all the time around any ACC, and if it's any, then it's a big problem for us to get going on a project.
Hmm.
But I think we need to be able to specify the CC for what stage of the development. And so I think Adam or the chair is suggesting that it would be a CC for, you can get, you can't get a CC above the basement level, something like that. I'm not sure how we would frame that until the access has been secured through the other site. I want to just, because I know there's a risk for the owner, and I've heard that argument many times, but if the project goes ahead and something, and Tiger's development is taking much longer than this development, for example, and I suggest that this development probably have pre-sales and whatever, there'll be some disappointed future purchasers of the site who may very well want to raise that as a concern. So other people get involved then. So just finding a way to secure it so, you know, there's some opportunity for some early works CC, but there's no such thing as that. Because you need to specify what that early works is, but you can't. But
is your concern that we'd build the building and wouldn't get access, and therefore we can't satisfy a parking requirement down the track? Or, I mean, just taking it to the end, in terms of if we built it, if we had pre-sales, if there was some commercial agreement, is your concern that we wouldn't get access to the basement and wouldn't meet parking requirements?
Well, not just that you wouldn't meet the requirements of parking, but you would have a development site that couldn't be accessed.
So
it'd be a big, brand new building and no access.
Plenty of buildings that don't have access anyway, we're getting way off piece.
So we're not assessing it on that basis. We're assessing it on the assumption that you are going to have access, but the question is the timing of that access and when it will be available and how much of the development should be allowed to proceed in the absence of that being secured and actually provided. So I think it's probably as far as we can take our questions at the moment, to be fair to you. And we'll have to just consider as a panel what the whole of the application and what we think should be done with it. So unless you've got anything else you can add to that particular matter, I think, do we have any other questions about this proposal? David, do you have any questions? No. And Alan, did you have any questions?
I'm just curious as to when they think Tigers Club's going to get on with it. They don't have a good track record, do they?
Does anybody have an answer to that?
Well, my understanding is that they were working on it the other day. I saw the machines actually doing things. So that's all I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to thank you all for your attendance. This being the last matter on the agenda, I am going to close the public part of the meeting, and the panel is now going to go into a closed session to deliberate in respect of each of the matters. So I thank you all of those people who attended today, and as I indicated earlier, the panel's decisions will be available on the council's website later this week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.